I'm not sure why you're here this morning. I'm not sure exactly what you're looking for as you came here to church today. Not sure exactly what you're expecting to hear, but I'm going to suggest that we just simply sit at the feet of Jesus this morning and see where that takes us. We will be dwelling in God's Word in the Gospel of Luke, and in doing so, we will unleash the power to change lives and the power to change the world. Having said that, I was asked this Thursday, called out of my office with a question. Will you be preaching this Sunday, Pastor, about the chosen one? I said, I won't. I won't because it would not be faithful to my calling as your pastor. Will I be talking about the chosen one? Is that what you want? Do you want to reflect upon the garbage that bombards you all week long? To drag you once again into the anxiety-producing news that weighs you down? Would you like more commentary on the ridiculous? Did you come to this sacred place for more of the same? Or did you come to meet Jesus? Did you come looking for sanctuary? A safe place to rest, to pray, to sing, to hug, to cry, to hold hands, and to celebrate grace, and to contemplate truths that are eternal. Truths that will outlive any administration, truths that outlive the Roman Empire, and will outlast the American experiment. We buried Harold Guernsey yesterday at Bayview Cemetery. Harold, 96 and a half years old. He was born, get this, midway between the administration of James Monroe and Donald Trump. In Harold's life, there were 17 different presidents in the White House. It was a revolving door. But through it all, our country survived, and the teachings of Jesus withstood the test of time, comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. I believe that you came here today to meet Jesus. And it is my hope that in doing so, you will be raised up, you will be uplifted, you will be encouraged for the journey ahead. You'll be better prepared to face this week in your home, in your workplace, and at play. You'll be better prepared to work for justice and peace in the world. The self-proclaimed chosen one will be judged by voters in history. It's not my place to judge a president or any other man or woman. No, we are called as God's people. We are called to learn the lessons of the rabbi from the Galilee, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to preach Jesus Christ in this place, that we might go forth from here to change the world by boldly living and dying as he taught us to live and die. Blessed to be a blessing to others. So we're going to start this sitting at the feet of Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry. The story is told in the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel. In this story, Jesus set the tone for everything that would follow. He entered the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, and he stood up to read. He read from the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus then rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Readers stood to read. Rabbis sat down to teach. That was the tradition. So as Jesus sat down, he was about to teach, all eyes were on him, and he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. If you were poor, or captive, or blind, or oppressed, this was very good news. But the poor, captive, blind, and oppressed did not have a large presence in the synagogue. Those who suffered were thought to be getting what they deserved from God. The religious people now turned on Jesus, and they sought to throw him off a cliff, it would be a common theme for his ministry. The lost and forsaken would be drawn to Jesus. The prostitutes and tax collectors would be given a fresh start. Lepers would be healed. Outcasts would always be welcome at Jesus' table. His ministry was good news for those on the fringes of society. But the religious ones were offended by his grace. The good church-going people, puffed up by self-righteousness, anxious to protect their place in society, would detest the rabbi who proclaimed that God loved common sinners, the rabbi who bucked tradition and proclaimed a new way of living and loving. We are sitting at the feet of Jesus today. Our next story comes again from the Gospel of Luke. It is our assigned text for this Sunday from the 13th chapter of Luke. Jesus had just taught his followers that there was no clear connection between calamity and suffering and sin. Life is just dangerous and unpredictable, and all people suffer in one way or another. Jesus is now entering the synagogue. It was the Sabbath day, and he was about to begin teaching. Think about a Sunday morning and the pastor is entering the church with a sermon in his hand. Jesus was teaching that day in the synagogue. He was teaching that day, but his teaching was not recorded. Most sermons are not remembered. Indeed, most of our words are not remembered. Our greatest witness is not elegant words, but simple actions, the way that we live our lives. Jesus was teaching. We don't know what he was saying, but he was teaching. And then suddenly he lost his focus. His attention was drawn to a woman who had just walked into the synagogue. The woman was bent over. You see her on the front of your bulletin. She was bent over. It was a very difficult way to go through life. She could not see where she was going. She was bent over, unable to stand up straight. She was disabled, crippled. And she had been this way for 18 years. Perhaps she had scoliosis or osteoporosis. Perhaps it was years of hard work that had destroyed her back. Perhaps it was just bad genetics, the luck of the draw. There may have been 100 different medical explanations for her condition. But after 18 years, there seemed to be no hope for her recovery. Jesus stopped preaching, and he called her over. Now, this was unlike most of Jesus' miracles. Usually, you might remember that people were surrounding him and pushing in on him. They brought their sick to him. They begged him for help. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, please come heal my daughter. Jesus, we are lepers. Help us. But this woman did not ask for a thing. She may not even have recognized him. Remember, she could not look up and see him. She was minding her own business. She was in church on the Sabbath day, a day when no business would be conducted, no work would be done. It was a day of rest, a day to focus on God. Jesus stopped his preaching. He stopped using words, and he called the woman over. For 18 years, she had been bent over, unable to straighten up. And yet, in the midst of this kind of disability, she came to church. In the midst of this kind of pain and scorn, she still came to pray. In the midst of religious people, people who suspected that she was a sinner, getting what she deserved, suffering for her sin. She did not come expecting a miracle. It was not clear that she even knew Jesus was there. She came for the same reason that you came this morning. She came to pray, to sing a hymn, to make an offering, to be in the midst of community. She did not come looking for a miracle, not after 18 years of unanswered prayers and countless doctor visits. She came because that is what she did in her life. That is what people of faith do. Even in the midst of pain and loss, they put themselves in the path of the gospel. She had been bent over for 18 years. Jesus spots her across the synagogue. Jesus calls her over and he announces not just her healing, but her liberation. Good news for the poor, sight to the blind, release to the captive. Jesus says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And then Jesus did something that was very dangerous. It was very politically incorrect. He touched the woman. He touched a woman in public, strike one. He touched the woman in the synagogue, strike two. And he touched the woman on the Sabbath, strike three. He laid his hands on her and he pronounced her liberation, and immediately she stood up straight. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And suddenly, the entire world looked differently to this woman. Life took on a new appearance. After all, for the past 18 years, the only thing she had ever seen were her shoes and the dust on the floor. Now she could look people in the eye. She could see their faces. No longer would people stare at her with pity and disdain. No more scorn or judgment from the religious folks. She had been set free. Lifted up. And what did she do next? She began praising God. She rejoiced. After all, she had so much to be thankful for. Everything was wonderful, beautiful. It was the dawning of a new day. Hope had returned to her life. Good news all around. Yes, today this scripture has been fulfilled. Are you happy for her? We'll try it again. Are you happy for her? Well, I would think so. But now, the rest of the story. The plot thickens. Because standing nearby, observing all of this happiness, was the leader of the synagogue, the president of the church council. And he was not bent over. He stood tall. And he wore fine clothes, and he was respected and honored in the community. And when he spoke, people listened. He was not bent over, but he was bent out of shape. He saw what had happened. He watched as Jesus touched the woman in public, in the synagogue. He witnessed Jesus healing her on a day when no work was to be done. It was a Sabbath day, for crying out loud. He watched as she stood straight and began praising God. I got to tell you, there was a lot of commotion that day in the church. The worshipers didn't know whether to laugh or cry. They were so happy that they did both. It was awesome. But the leader of the synagogue, well, he was unhappy. More than that, he was, the text says, indignant. When was the last time that you were indignant? Spitting tacks mad. I'm telling you, this church leader looked like a Whidbey Islander when someone cuts in the ferry line in front of them. Or when you try to buy Kameno Island and no one will take you seriously. He was indignant, and so he tried to incite the crowd to reject this healing and to reject this lawbreaker, Jesus. He raised his voice above the celebration. He said, "Listen to me. This is not okay. This is not the way things are done around here. The law of Moses is clear. There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. This is the Sabbath day, and this Jesus has disrespected God and our traditions. 6 days a week. Come on those days, Jesus, and cure the sick. But do not come into my church on the Sabbath day and pull these shenanigans." Well, that put a damper on the celebration. The crowd was hushed. The ball was now in Jesus' court. Jesus answered by saying, "You hypocrites, who here would not untie your donkey or ox on the Sabbath day and lead them to water?" It was not a rhetorical question. Many of you have domestic animals, horses, dogs, cats. Do you feed them on Sunday? Do you give them water on Sunday? Do you take them for a walk? They'd be cranky if you didn't, right? What was happening here was Jesus was entering a debate that was raging among the religious people 2,000 years ago. You see, the great rabbis and the Qumran community of the Dead Sea were discussing the law, and this was their question. How much care can one give to their domestic animals on the Sabbath day without offending God? Jesus enters debate. This debate by declaring what the common people already knew. Animals, pets, children, old people, they need to be taken care of every day. Those who can't take care of themselves need our help regardless of the day of the week. This is God's way, and we are not going to offend God by caring for those who cannot take care of their own needs. And so now Jesus would go on, now that we agree that it's okay to take care of our pets, then what do you think about this poor sister of ours who's been bent over for 18 years? Would it not be God's desire for us to find compassion in our hearts for her? She has suffered enough, Sabbath or no Sabbath. God rejoices in her healing. When Jesus has said this, the text says all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. Good news to the poor, release to the captives. You know, we all are now, or will be, sometime in our life, bent over. Some, it will be visible. Others, it will be undetected by those around us. Perhaps understood by those who know us the best, but then again, no one really knows us except God. Maybe it's worse to carry invisible burdens, to be bent over by the past or the present or fears of tomorrow, but showing no outward signs, hiding behind a lonely mask of false bravado. My friends, children of God, human beings, it's okay to be bent over. It's okay to be human. It's okay for your body or your mind to wear out. And into the midst of that, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free." Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. The leader of the synagogue lost face that day. And I got to tell you, folks, it's dangerous to mess with religious people. They would just as soon kill you rather than let you rock their boat, upset their order, or threaten their long-held church traditions. Now, we should be very clear that Jesus was not in any way disrespecting the Sabbath. He had no intention of changing Sabbath law, but he was reminding us that the Sabbath was a gift to us as humans. It was a gift, but a gift that is misused can become just one more burden to carry. The needs of people are more important than church traditions. Compassion and kindness trump mean-spirited laws and oppressive structures. Mean-spirited laws that exist to ensure that those who are in power stay in power and those who are held down continue to be oppressed. So let's wrap it up. I'm here to tell you it's better to be bent over by long years of labor than to be bent out of shape by God's grace to others. It's better to be bent over by aging bodies and aging minds than to be bent out of shape by a church that welcomes sinners and immigrants and refugees. It's better to be bent over by disease than to be bent out of shape by a God who shows compassion on sinners. But as always, it's your choice. You can come to the party, or you can stay outside pouting. You can rejoice in God's blessings for you, or you can sulk because you think someone might be getting a better deal. You can say, "Praise the Lord, God has never done anything like this before," or you can say, "We've never done anything like that before, and we're not going to start now." So we're going to transition to our hymn of the day, and I'd invite you to stand up straight if you can, and if you cannot, If you're bent over, don't let that stop you from joining the faithful as we raise our voices in song, singing, "I'm so glad Jesus lifted me." I'd invite you to stand.